It's Wednesday, July 13th, 2011, and this is Christopher Keneally with a special update for Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series, Beyond the Book. Welcome. Whether from misguided practices or misplaced good intentions or lack of editorial oversight, the Huffington Post is on the carpet this week for aggregation violations. With me to sort out the rights and wrongs of online journalism is Stephen Rosenbaum, author of Curation Nation, a new book that celebrates aggregation as the future of digital news distribution. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Steve.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you join us again. Our full-length interview about Curation Nation went out on Monday, and I appreciate your taking time to supplement that conversation in the light of this week's news from HuffPo. I'm going to ask you to describe the controversy for us and give us a bit of context if you can. This isn't just a story about a young reporter slipping up. It's also about a veteran media pundit making a point about what he calls the innumerable casual editorial muggings suffered by journalists at the hands of Arianna's army.
Yeah, so I think the first thing, you know, I know Simon. I like Simon a lot. I think he's a terrific writer. And
we should tell people Steve Simon is a media reporter for Advertising Age. Simon Domenico.
Right. So Simon's issue, and I think a legitimate one, is the difference between linking and curating and aggregating content and saying, hey, here's a little bit from, here's the top sentence and a half or three sentences from Simon's article. Click here to read the rest. And a reporter sitting in front of Simon's article and essentially rewriting it and changing the word and to but and the word if to the, making it a little bit different, but essentially taking the intellectual property, the beginning, middle, and end, the theory, and actually the shape of the article, hook, line, and sinker. And Simon, I think, you know, you have to look at what Huffington Post said. Simon raised the issue. Huffington Post looked at his accusation and said, in the course of about, you know, a half a day, you're entirely right. We made a mistake, which I think was the right thing for them to do in this case.
And interestingly, Steve, that apology came from Peter Goodman. And what's interesting about that is this is a fellow who used to work at the New York Times, and we're seeing a lot of migration here of traditional print reporters into Huffington Post and other sites like it, and perhaps a migration that's happening from aggregation of the very simplistic kind that you just described more towards journalism, and it seems to me that that's part of what's going on here. But Peter issued that apology, and then Simon said, "Well, thanks, but no thanks."
Well, yeah, he did, and I think what Simon's raising, and what I think all of us in the space could use is, you know, let's roll our sleeves up a little bit and say, here are how the rules work. This is what a legitimate curated link looks like. This is what a summary of an article looks like. This is what it doesn't look like. And let's put out there, and I think that Huffington Post is in a great position to create some internal standards and share them publicly as best practices, and then open a dialogue with writers and editors about where the lines are. And I think that, you know, there is no doubt that as an organization, Huffington has both, you know, a deep curated ecosystem and an original reporting ecosystem. And when those bump into each other, there's problems.
It's fascinating, Stephen. And I guess we should ask, what do we know currently about the standards around this topic of aggregation that HuffPo editors give to their reporters?
So, I don't know that there's that. If there is a standards and practices that's written down, I don't know that it's been made public. So I really can't answer that question. You know, I'll tell you that the last time that I dipped into this, which was in the book, the Michael Wolff, you know, who was then running Newser at the time, essentially said, you know, I'm going to link to and rewrite anything I please, however I please. And, said that, as part of a debate he was having with a Hollywood news website, and you know, said, if you don't like it, you know, have your attorney call my attorney. So, you know, I mean, the kind of line in the sand that Michael drew was, you know, I can rewrite anything as much as I like. That's called freedom of information, and I'm going to do it. I'm not sure that Huffington agrees with Michael at all on that.
Right. And you know, it's funny, this whole notion of aggregation and the word that you prefer, curation, and I'm going to put it to you that curation, the distinction there is the human element, not this kind of mechanical collecting and rehashing. Have I got that right? Is that how you see the real difference here? And that's the important piece, is the human element. If somebody is going to take someone's original content, they need to add something to it. It needs to kind of grow rather than just get repeated, kind of an echo chamber.
No, I mean, I think curation doesn't require original writing to be, you know, if I say, here's 10 links to great websites that are talking about content on the web, or here's 10 articles, there's a human curatorial function to that. So organizing in and of itself is a creative function. I think the issue that came up on the Huffington Post matter was that they had taken an existing piece of editorial and essentially rewritten it, but taken the core ideas and written it, you know, as a quote unquote original piece of reporting.
Well, you know, these distinctions are ones that I think are going to need to get sharpened. As you said, this is an opportunity, perhaps, for Huffington Post to come out with some standards and try to help make them, you know, the industry standards along the way. Is that where you're hoping this controversy leads us? Or do you think it's simply going to wind up being that the responsible players continue to act responsibly and the others out there just kind of go about their business? That there may be no way, given the nature of the Internet, to really impose standards.
Well, I mean, you know, keep in mind that the word curation has grown very, very quickly. And, you know, so the idea that curation is even part of an editorial function, I think, is just now something that publishers are becoming comfortable with. But I do think there's a missing kind of industry group or, you know, group of professionals to even, I don't even know where this conversation would begin. I mean, you know, would it begin at the MPA? Would it begin at the Online News Association? I mean, what existing organization could kind of convene a conversation about the rights and wrongs of curation?
And that would be true about anything on the Internet, I think. Well, what I like is we started the conversation here, Steve, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to help clarify some of these issues, because I think it's a very complex but a very important piece of the evolution of the web. We've been chatting with Steven Rosenbaum, author of Curation Nation. We have a full-length interview with him about the book, posted to Beyond the Book earlier this week on Monday. Today is Wednesday, July 13th, 2011. And for all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, I want to thank you for joining me today. Christopher Keneally, your host. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes and at our website, copyright.com/Beyond the Book. Again, for everyone at Copyright Clearance Center, this is Chris Keneally. Thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.